Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Now, how many of you know that prayer changes things? Let me say that one more time. How many of you know that prayer changes things? Prayer changes things. But see, prayer should not be a means to just an action. It should be a point in which we engage with the very Spirit of God to engage with God Himself. You see, sometimes we pray church out of routine, and sometimes we pray out of religious duty. Sometimes we pray because we know that it's the right things to do. Amen? But when the Lord is asking us to pray, He's not asking us to simply engage in the act of prayer. He's asking us, church, to engage with Him. He's asking us to engage with Him. And so oftentimes we're accustomed to pray for things like our food. How many of you pray for your food? Amen. You sanctify that donut as it goes down your... Come on, somebody. I've been eating healthy the last week. Hopefully you noticed. But we pray for things like our food. We pray for things like our family, our safety, our well-being. And these are good things to pray for. But the Bible says that we are to pray in all circumstances for all things. Prayer should not be reduced, church, to just something that you do out of habit. But again, it's you and I engaging with the person of the Holy Spirit. For the people, for many people, I believe that prayer is something that has become reduced to a quick, short list of requests that you have towards God. And you bring those requests before God. You say, Lord, this is what I need. I need this, Lord. I need breakthrough in my finances, God. I need breakthrough in my marriage, Lord. I need to see you, God, save my children. And you bring these things to God. And that's part of prayer, but that's not all of prayer. Because when you truly engage in prayer, you forget that you're praying. I said, when you truly engage in prayer, you're not looking at the watch. You're not looking at what time it is. You're not looking at how long the service is gone. You're there because you're engaging with the presence of the Almighty God. The one who calls you His own. The one who had knit you and formed you in your mother's womb. The one from whom we have found our identity. The one who has adopted us into the family of God. This is the person that you are engaging with. The one who has the power to forgive sin, to heal our bodies, church, and to save the lost. This is the person that you and I are engaging with. And I wonder, church, you know, some people, I believe, wonder why it seems as though their prayers haven't been answered or they seemingly go unheard. But if you have read your Bibles, there's so many instances that Scripture can point to and tell you why we should pray and how we should pray and what should happen as a result of prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14, I know you know the verses, but let's read it this morning. Everyone say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. He says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. He said, I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. He said, my eyes and my heart will always be there. The eyes and the heart of God are upon Rock of Ages right now, church. The eyes and the heart of God are upon His people this morning. But the Scripture says when we lay down our pride, when we lay down our pride, pride is the very thing that keeps a person standing in the presence of God when they should be bowing at His feet. Pride is the very thing that keeps you concerned about what others around you are thinking when you should be worshiping the King of Kings. Pride is the very thing, church, that has you worried about what somebody else will think about your worship. And those of us who have the Spirit of the living God resting inside of us today, know that with the Spirit of God comes humility. Amen? We're not supposed to stand in our flesh, church. We're supposed to be surrendered and yielded to the Spirit of God living inside of us. And when we come to this place of understanding that we cannot do life on our own, we cannot forgive others on our own. I'll say that one more time. You cannot forgive anyone on your own. You need the Spirit of God to do that, church. We cannot see people saved through our own works, nor can we see anyone healed because of our nature. We cannot love the way Jesus loved others on our own, but when we come to that realization, it should cause you to pray. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Not me. I offer nobody hope. Christ in me is the hope, church. Christ in you is the hope. And so when you've bowed your knee to pray, the next thing that should come is this, is to seek the face of God. To not just seek after what His hand can give you, but seek the person of God, seek His face. Because when you've had an encounter with God, there is no mistake that you've met with Him. Paul had an encounter with the Spirit of God on the road to Damascus, and the Bible says that he was completely transformed and completely changed. That after his eyes were cleansed and his eyes were opened, he was no longer who he was before. The Bible says that his name, it was even changed from Saul to Paul. He was transformed because he had an encounter with the living God, church. And when you engage with the Lord in prayer, this is exactly what's happening. You don't just drop your request on His desk. You don't just put a post-it note on the office of God and walk away. But you stay engaged in prayer, church, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Proverbs 8 and 17 says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me, they find me." Again, I say it's very difficult that when you've had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, that you would simply go on in life unfazed by His goodness and by His holiness. But I believe that when you've truly engaged with Christ, you've had an experience that will mark you forever, church. It will mark you forever. Encounters with Christ should do this, church. The Bible says through His loving kindness, we are led into repentance. You see, and all if you're doing is dropping your request in His request box, and you're not seeking after the face of God, you're not seeking to know His person, you're not seeking to engage with Him and to fall in love with Jesus, you'll never repent. But when you've met with the one who knows everything about you, He knows every single closet that you've tried to hide in shame. He knows every single area of your heart that you've tried to hold back and make people think that you're something that you're really not. This God that could expose every single facet of your being, church, He doesn't. He loves you. And He engages with you in love. He mercifully knows the worst of us, church. And yet the Bible says that the Father gave the best of His Son. We're still talking about prayer this morning. The fact that God hasn't spilled the beans of your life story to those around you is His mercy, church. The fact that He hasn't, you know, made you a public spectacle as a person of shame in their lifestyle of sin is His grace. He loves you, church. I'll say it one more time. He loves you unconditionally. And this should make us understand that He is eternally good to us, church. Eternally good. But after you've come to Him in humility, after you've sought after His presence, and you've turned from sin and the wickedness of this flesh, the Bible says, then He will hear from heaven. Then He will hear from heaven. He will forgive your sin, and He will heal this land. How many of you know that this land needs healing, church? Come on, say it if you believe it. This land needs healing. How many of you want the glory of heaven to be open over us? Amen. The power and the presence of God to be over your life. How many of you desire to see hearts and lives forgiven? Amen. It's a beautiful thing when you see somebody's heart completely changed. They're transformed in the presence of God. Only God can do that, church. How many of you want to see salvation for your household? Come on, that should be a little bit louder. How many of you want to see your friends and your family saved, church? How many of you want to see the person that has struggled with addiction? And everyone knows one. The person that is in bondage, they're struggling with drug addiction. They're struggling with alcoholism. They're struggling in their marriage. They're struggling with pornography. How many of you want to see them set free by the power of Jesus? That wasn't even as good as a Dallas Cowboys touchdown. I'm sorry. And you know how I feel about them. I'm going to say it one more time. How many of you want to see the addict delivered by the power of Jesus? How many of you want to see every single part of this nation healed from every demonic attack of the enemy? I want to see every broken assignment, everything that the enemy has tried to bring against this country, this nation, its patrons, all of the people that live in this community, church. I want to see them come back to Jesus. And I want to see Jesus break every single chain that is holding this country back. But too often, church, God's people do not pray because they encounter circumstance. Too often our sword of the Spirit is put back in its sheath because all of a sudden something has happened in your life. You've gone through something in your life and it's taken you from that secret place with God. It's pulled you out of that place where you were one with God, where you were on your face before the Lord. And because that mountain now is in your way, that's the only thing that you can see. That's the only thing that you are seeing in your life. But how many of you know, church, that God allows mountains and giants of life to exist as a means to invite you into that prayer closet? You see, the mountain is not there, church, to get you to go from God. It's to get you to run to God. It's not their church existing just because, oh man, look at this big mountain. Look at this big giant. Oh, look at the enemy. There's no way we're going to get through this. No, 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 my friend. I have a God that says that if you would speak to that mountain and command it to be moved, it will move, church. It will move. And so He is calling us once again into a lifestyle of surrender and dependency on Him, church. Storms of life are not meant to harm you. Did you know that? But they're meant for you to trust in the Almighty God. They are meant for you to bow your knee to God. The greatest storm that I have gone through over the last few years with both of my dads. One who was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in 2017 and one who was diagnosed with liver cirrhosis. And for a moment, the enemy pushed me back to see the size of the mountain. To see how it looked immovable. To see the scale of the mountain and how grand it seemed. How large it seemed in comparison to me and my faith. And I remember, church, having a battle with God in prayer. And the Lord humbled me. He said, are you here because you want something from me? Or are you here because you want me? And I remember looking at the Lord and praying, church, and all of a sudden everything shifted. From me not looking at the size of the mountain to me enjoying the goodness of God. To me feeling surrounded by the presence of God. Feeling lifted up by the presence of God, church, because it's in that place when you've sought after Him that you enter into a place, church, of just immunity to the world. It doesn't matter what the diagnosis is, He's there. He is there, church. I said, the storms of life, they're not meant to harm you, but they're meant for you to trust in God. The trials are not meant to push you from Him, but they're meant for you to press into Him. Jeremiah 29:11 confirms this, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. They're plans to give you hope and a future. It says, then you will call on me. You see what happened? When you know His plan for you, you will call upon Him. It says, then you will call upon me and you will come and you will pray to me. He says, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. He says, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And guess what? He will bring you back from captivity. He will bring you back from the very snares that the enemy tried to pull you back into. He will bring you back from the very Egypt where the enemy tried to get you engaged with once again. See, church, storms do not mean separation, but they mean invitation from the Lord. It's an invitation from God. It is an invitation to engage with the Lord, but the enemy wants circumstance to become a distraction from the secret place that God wants you to meet Him at. He wants the children of God. This is the enemy. He wants them in bondage. Physically, mentally, spiritually, because he understands the chokehold that it presents to the life of a believer. When you do not pray, church, it's as if you have cut off your umbilical cord from heaven. And there is no nourishment. There's no strength. There's no peace. There's no restoration. There's no revival. There's nothing. Mark 4:19 says, the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things, they come in and they choke the word and they make it unfruitful. The mountain is not bigger than your God. I'll say it one more time. He is the one, church, that formed the heavens and the earth. The mountain is not bigger than Him. What you are experiencing in your life is not bigger than Him. What we're experiencing in this nation is not bigger than Him, church. The Bible says that He rests His feet upon the earth. We serve a mighty God. I said, we serve a mighty God, church. And how many of you know that the results of a prayerless church is a powerless people? When the church does not pray, we do not see the power. But when the church prays, I said, but when the church prays, but when the church prays, we are endowed with heaven's power, church, to not only see circumstance change, but to see lives be healed and transformed under the power of heaven. Amen. How many of you know that God doesn't look at situations the way that we do? God doesn't look at circumstance at it the way that we do. He is unfazed by it, church. How many of you understand that God in heaven is not experiencing sickness? I'll say it one more time. God in heaven isn't experiencing sickness. God in heaven is not experiencing pain. God in heaven is not going through trial. God in heaven did not wake up with aches in His body today. The Bible says that our God neither sleeps nor slumbers, church. He is eternally powerful. The Bible says that He's omnipotent. That means that God's power has no beginning and it has no end, church. I said, it has no end. God in heaven is not experiencing a virus or disease or pain or loss or hatred or division. Heaven is not looking for solutions, church. Heaven is not striving for relief. And so we must understand that the mountains that we are faced with, they were seen by Jesus completely differently. Do you know that Jesus used to go up to the mountain to pray? Jesus didn't look at the mountain as something that was immovable. He didn't look at the mountain as something that was impassable. Jesus said, from that place I will pray. And the Bible says, church, in Mark chapter 6, I won't read it for you this morning, but you can read it on your own time. The Bible says that when Jesus had ascended up into the mountain to go pray, the Bible says that when he had come down, he had encountered his disciples who were crossing the sea at night. And the Bible says that Jesus was so empowered that when he saw the disciples, they were struggling in the boat on that sea. The Bible says that he walked on the water, church. And he went to see them. Now, how many of you know that's probably a scary thing to witness? You're in the middle of a storm, it's chaos, and there's all this stuff going on around you. And Jesus walks upon the water towards you. And he says, take courage. It is I. He said, take courage, it's me. Guys, it's me, I'm here. You don't have to worry anymore. And the Bible says that after they had crossed over to the other side, the whole town, the whole village, they brought the paralytics on mats, they brought the lepers in their sickness, they brought all the people out to meet with Jesus. And the Bible says that he emptied the entire village of the sick. That's like Jesus walking into DHR and emptying the entire hospital of the sick. What's the lesson? When you go up to the mountain, church, you're endowed with power. When you go up to the place where God has told you to go, to not complain about it, to not overanalyze it, to not try to think in yourself what to do, to not post something on Facebook about it, but to go to him. When you go to the Father, church, he is the only one that can pour into your life every single thing that you need. He can pour and he can pour and he can pour, and the Bible says that your cup will overflow. And then when you've come down from the mountain, that you would release heaven just the way that Jesus did. And that when you pray, the Bible says, when two or three gather in his name, there he will be. And the Bible says that if somebody is sick amongst you, for them to call the elders of the church to lay hands on the sick and they will be healed, church. But the power doesn't happen unless you prayed. The season doesn't shift, church, unless you've engaged with the Savior. So this is why we need to pray. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. This is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Everyone say, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. So what is the will of God on earth? For there to be no sickness, church. There's no pain in heaven, church. So what is the will of God for the earth? That we wouldn't suffer pain, church. Are you getting this morning? Are you receiving this in your heart today? Because it's the will of God to see here, church, what exists in heaven. It is the will of God to see here what exists in heaven. How many of you know, church, that we cannot be okay with people dying? I said, we cannot be okay with that. It should move your heart. It should wreck your heart to see what's happening in the Middle East right now in Israel. It should move your heart to pray because of what we are seeing our youth and our young people go through, what they're being taught in our school systems. It should move you in such a way because there's young people that are struggling with same-sex attraction, and they're struggling with gender identity, and they're being told that they can pick and choose whatever they are. No, my friend. Do not mistake the word of God. God has chosen exactly who you are. God has formed you to be exactly who He has called you to be. Make no mistake about it. There is no question from heaven, church. And so the devil has had his way doing what he always does, just trying to deceive people. Just trying to get them to be tricked about it. Just trying to get them to buy into the lie. How many of you know that we cannot be okay with stagnation in the church anymore? I said, we cannot be okay with complacency in the church. We cannot be okay watching politics divide the church. Somebody say amen. We cannot be okay seeing the demonic have dominion in our families. We cannot be okay with that, church. Jesus did not entertain Satan. He cast him out. Jesus wasn't like, I guess he's got a demon, you know. Good luck with that. No, the Bible says that he cast him out. He cast him out. We must pray, church, that the God who holds the heavens together intervenes in our land.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.